Living in faith does not have to be insurmountable, but can be challenging. The Chapel Platform, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, brings you messages of examples of faithful living. The messages we bring you, preached in chapel and other services on the campus, have been used of God for many years. Our speaker today is Dr. Von Sprunger, who is now a retired preacher from Bern, Indiana. Many references in this message refer to Dr. Sprunger's ministry in the Lord as of 1985. This message was preached at a chapel service at the university on Friday, October 25, 1985. Please turn to Joshua chapter 14 for our text. Herein, Dr. Sprunger delves into the life of Caleb, who along with Joshua trusted God enough to willingly and cheerfully go to possess the promised land. Then he reviews some of the struggles of his own life in trusting God as to the place of service he needed to possess in and for God. Let's listen to his message titled, Characteristics of Caleb.
I do not know of a greater privilege that I could have than to stand here and speak from this pulpit this morning. Nor do I know anywhere where there is a greater potential than what is sitting before me this morning. And I trust that God will use His Word to challenge and to encourage our hearts today. Will you take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 14? Joshua chapter 14. Here we have an account in the life of Caleb. Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. Caleb, one of those characters in the Bible who lived up to his name. His name means wholehearted. You know, there are many people who do not live up to their name or up to their title. For instance, there are kings who are not kingly. There are justices who are not just. There are Christians who are not Christ-like. There are saints who are not saintly. And I trust that God will help us to live up to our name. I trust that you remember the story of Caleb and Joshua and the children of Israel. Children of Israel came out of Egypt, had been out of Egypt now for about 2 years when they came to Kadesh Barnea on the south of Canaan. God had already promised to them the land of Canaan and told them to go in, and yet in their unbelief they asked instead that they might send in some spies. God complied, and 12 spies were chosen, one from every tribe. And so the spies went in to spy out the land of Canaan and were gone for 40 days. At the end of that time, they returned to Moses, to the children of Israel. 10 spies said, yes, the land is all that God has said that it would be. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had the fruit to show the evidence. However, they said, the land is possessed of giants. There are giants in the land. There are walled cities. And we're not able to take the land. However, there were 2 spies, the minority, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can take the land. There are giants in the land. There are walled cities. But God has given us the land, and we're able to take it. Let us go up and possess it. The people believed the report of the 10, and because of their unbelief, God said, not one, except for Joshua and Caleb, not one who is over 20 years of age will be able to go in and take the land. Your children will go in, but you will not go in. Now, 45 years later, that generation having died off, here in the 14th chapter of Joshua, we have this account. The children of Israel have now crossed the Jordan River. The land has been conquered. Canaan has been secured. The power of the Canaanites has been broken. Yet there is much land to be possessed. And here in the 14th chapter of Joshua, we have the account of Caleb coming to Joshua, who is now the leader. And he is asking for that inheritance that has been promised to him. And in this little speech that he gives to Joshua, he mentions 3 things. He talks about the past, he talks about the present, he talks about the future. And in this little speech, we see three characteristics about Caleb. He was a man of faith. He was a man of patience. And he was a man of courage. Notice, first of all, if you will, his account of the past. We have this in verses 6 through 9, but I want you to notice verse 7 and verse 8 especially. His account of the past. First of all, he recalls the reports that were given those many years ago. Verses 7 and 8 we read, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, notice, as it was in my heart. That was his report. In verse 8, we have the spies' report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know, I've wondered, why was his report so different from the report of the 10 spies? They went into the land, they all saw the same thing, but why was his report so different? I believe the answer is this. He saw by faith, the others saw by sight. The 10 spies saw with their eyes, Caleb saw with his heart. The 10 spies saw with physical vision, he saw with spiritual vision. They saw the walled cities and the giants. Caleb saw God. They all saw the same thing. Caleb believed the promise of God. When they went into the land, they knew that the land had been promised to them. The spies did not believe the promises. The 10 spies, Caleb and Joshua, believed the promises of God. You know, young people, faith is not some mystical feeling that we pump up within ourselves, then think that we have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we come to the Word of God and we see what He has promised to us. And faith is laying hold of the promises of God. It is just believing what God says He will do. Caleb believed the promises of God. And then you'll notice, as he accounts for the past, that he recalls the reward that was promised. In verse 9 he says, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, for 45 years he has waited for that inheritance. He has been different from his whole generation. His generation has died in the wilderness. Now, having waited, he says to Joshua, I want my reward. You know, he was not living for the present. Let me put it this way. Caleb was not a part of his now generation. I hate that term. As though that's something that just happened in the last 10 or 15 years, a now generation. Young people, you are not a part of your now generation. There has always been a now generation. There was a now generation in Caleb's day. He wasn't a part of it. His now generation lusted for the leeks and the onions and the garlic of Egypt, just like the now generation today. And while they looked back and lusted for Egypt, Caleb looked ahead for the reward of the inheritance. There was a now generation in Abraham's day. Lot was a part of it. He chose the well-watered plain. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And when Sodom was destroyed, he lost everything that he had. We read that by faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Moses had a now generation. That now generation buried in the tombs of Egypt. We read in the Word of God that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And your now generation is doing the very same thing, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But if you're going to do anything for God like Caleb, you must be a man, a woman of faith. But then faith waits. Faith has patience. And we see next that Caleb is a man of patience. Verses 10 and 11, we have these stirring words. Notice them, if you will. Joshua 14. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And lo, now I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day." I like that. 85 years old. He says, "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in." You see, he was willing to wait from the time he was 40 to the time he's 85. And he says, "Now I want to go in." But he had waited. But he had waited. Young people, faith waits. There's no panic here on the part of Caleb. He knew that that possession was his. He knew that God was going to keep it for him. And he was willing to wait for the time that God had for him to take and get that possession. Do you know that faith always waits, is willing to wait? And it's hard to wait on God. It's hard to wait on God. It's easy to panic and to run ahead. Sometimes some never do anything for God because they lag behind. But all too often people get in trouble because they run ahead of God and will not wait. Can I make some applications this morning? In about 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, over in the gymnasium and the cafetorium over there, will be the teacher recruitment conference. And pastors and administrators will come in and set up their displays on those tables. And you education students will go over there, and especially you seniors, you'll walk up and down those aisles between those displays. And pastor and administrator after pastor and administrator will hand you brochures and flyers and folders. And you'll have a stack when you walk out of there. And all the noise and the confusion. I've seen some of you do this. And you'll go back to your room. You've had about 10, 12 interviews. And pastors, administrators from Maine to California will say, "Won't you come to my school?" And you'll say, "What do I do? Where do I go?" Wait. Wait. Listen, until God gives you direction, you wait. You wait on the Lord. Some of you seniors are sending out resumes, and you're having interviews, and your head is spinning, and you say, "Oh, if I just knew where." Wait till God gives you direction. You preacher boys, your senior year, maybe even in grad school, and you're saying, "Oh, I just wish some pastor would come wanting an assistant. And I just know where I'm going to go. Or I wish some pulpit committee would just write for a pastor." And the answer comes back, you wait. Listen, some of you are facing problems of other kinds, maybe financial. I don't know, financially, I don't know what that problem might be. But the answer comes back, you wait on God until He gives you direction. Don't you dare to panic and run ahead of God. I know there are things that we need to do. There is a time to send out resumes, and doors do need to be tested properly. But there is a time, for waiting on God. And you wait. You wait. Do you believe that God has a will for your life? Do you believe that God has a program and a plan for your life? Then wait. Do you get direction from God? Any of us who have pastored for any length of time at all could stand this morning and tell you story after story of young couples who were unwilling to wait and walked out of the will of God, never to fulfill the potential that God had for them because they were not willing to wait. Sometimes they were not willing to wait for the right person. Sometimes the right person, but they were not willing to wait for the right time. And they ran out on the will of God, never to reach the potential that God has for them. Let me read some verses to you, and I want you to listen carefully this morning. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You believe God's written that? You believe God has promised that? Faith lays hold on that and says, I am willing to wait until God gives me direction. And young people, don't you dare to panic. Don't you dare to run ahead of God. You take your Bible and you read it. You mark the promises of God and you claim the promises of God. And if God is God, you believe it. Regardless of appearance and regardless of the desires of the flesh, regardless of what you think you can gain by what you see by sight. Caleb was a man of faith, and he was a man of patience. Then he was a man of courage. You see this as he anticipated the future. Notice verse 12, if you will. In this 14th chapter, he says, Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. My, what a request. 85 years old. And he says to Joshua, I'm as strong as I was back when I was 40. He says, give me this mountain, the giants, the walled cities. I'm just as strong now as I was then. I'm going to go up and possess them. You know, faith makes us willing to wait for the present, and faith gives us the courage to face the future. We could accuse Caleb of being selfish and self-centered. If we didn't realize the whole story. Here he is, the first one from the tribe of Judah, the leader of the tribe of Judah, and he comes up and the first thing he does is to ask for his own inheritance. You say, how selfish? But no, look what he asked for. The mountains, the fenced cities, the giants. He didn't ask for some valley of ease. He didn't ask for the plains as Lot did. He asked for the mountains. He asked for that which was difficult, that which was hard. You know, that's just the opposite, young people, of the philosophy of the world today. Very few are asking for the mountains, the giants, and the fenced cities. Today, the philosophy of the world is give me the good life. Give me the good life, whatever that is. We hear about the American dream. I don't know really what that is. Years ago, I guess the American dream was for everybody to be able to own their own little cottage someplace. Today, I guess the American dream is to have a $200,000 home and several cars in the driveway and another cottage on the beach and boats and everything else is now the American dream. We think of ball players today graduating from college before they've ever played a pro football game are instant millionaires. People, young men go out into business, graduating with a business degree from many schools, and they walk into a corporation, and 2 weeks after they're there, they expect the president to move over. They want his desk. Young people get married and they want as big a home and as much furniture, as nice a furniture as their parents have after 30 years. And want to start in a job that pays as much as dad has after he's been there a long time. You know, this kind of philosophy rubs off on Christian young people. And we want that same philosophy. And we shy away from the difficult place. And we don't want the mountains. We don't want the fenced cities. And we're afraid of the giants. God has allowed us in South Bend to have a very lovely piece of property. We were able to buy the time that I've been pastor there, and on that property build some very lovely buildings. We just thank God over and over again for the facilities God has given us on that property. Some years ago, we had a musical group come to our church. And I had not had the opportunity of meeting them yet formally. And if you've been in an ensemble, you can identify with this. They came into the church and they were unloading. And you know how that goes, getting their equipment in there and all. And I just slipped in and stood over against the side wall. And about that time, two of the young men walked in, oblivious to my standing there. But I could hear their conversation, and they walked into the auditorium and they looked around a little bit. And then one punched the other and he said, "Huh, not a bad place to begin." And I know that he was saying it in jest, but I thought to myself, I didn't begin here. Little did he know that little wood frame church in southern Ohio, where I began my ministry, with just a handful of people. Little did he know the years that were spent there serving the Lord. And little did he know about the call of God that came from Community Baptist Church in South Bend, and the struggle that went on in my heart, not wanting to go there. As I struggled, "Lord, don't you know South Bend? That church is smaller than the church I have now. Don't you know that Notre Dame University is there?" And finally, I had to come to the place where I was able to say, "God, give me that mountain." Listen, God doesn't lead every pastor to stay in a church 22 years. I know that. God leads some to move much sooner than that. And God has given some great ministries and churches shorter periods of time. But I know many alumni from this school who have been in their churches for as long as I have, some longer, and have built great works. And I'll guarantee you one thing, they have not left every time some family got upset. They did not leave every time some deacon kicked up his heels. Listen, there are those today out serving God in hard places. And I trust that you'll not shy away from those places. It's easy to say, "God, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but just no Buddhists, no Muslims, no snakes, no unpainted parsonage, no little rundown church, no starting from scratch." It's easy for us to want the place of ease. Not Caleb, even at 85, said, "Oh God, God, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." You know that Caleb conquered that mountain. The fenced cities, the giants, And he changed the name from Kirjath Arba, city of the giants, to Hebron. Hebron means the place of fellowship. Young people, you want to know where the place of fellowship is? The place of fellowship is not out there somewhere in the Valley of Ease. The place of fellowship is not in the plain of pleasure. The place of fellowship is walking with God, claiming the mountains. You're here in school right now. This is even test week. Your freshman year, your senior year, somewhere in between. And it seems like a tremendous mountain that you're facing right now. And the temptation would be to cop out, to goof off. Some of you may be already planning that you're not coming back next semester because it's too hard, too difficult. And your friends back home are beckoning. And you see them, and they've taken the easy way. Would that you would go back to your room and fall on your face by God's grace. Say, "Oh God, give me the mountains." Man of faith, man of patience, a man of courage. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word and for Thy promises. And our God, we pray, whatever walk of life these students go into, whatever is Thy will for them, we pray, our God, they'll not shy away from that which is difficult. God, encourage them today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to have a copy of the message you've just heard on the chapel platform, you can send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Von Sprunger, the message titled Characteristics of Caleb, and also be sure to mention today's date. The chapel platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University.